Detroit. We often know about American cities because of popular culture references, music, TV, the types of news stories that make it to the international press. So, Detroit. Motown or techno? Automobile industry? Or maybe a major financial crisis that hit the city in the last decade? What about the other stories, though, of how to live in this city? Erin Foley is a journalist, former editor of Black Detroit, and author of the book with the fabulous title, How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass. And now he's the city's first chief storyteller. Erin, hello.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Why does Detroit need a chief storyteller?
Detroit needs a chief storyteller because when you look at media coverage of Detroit, you see two very, very large extremes. You see all of the new developments going on in our downtown and midtown areas. And then on the other end, you see a lot of ruin porn.
What do you mean by that?
Ruin porn is this idea that you have photography of just abandoned buildings. And stylistically and artistically, the photographs are very well shot. But for years now, internationally especially, Detroit has sort of been come to define by these photos of our abandoned train station, our abandoned automotive plants, our abandoned homes and whatnot. And this is not to say that Detroit does not have those things, but for one, Detroit is demolishing a lot of these vacant structures at a very intense rate. But two, you also forget about all of the people that live outside of downtown. You forget about all of the businesses that exist outside of downtown. And my role as a storyteller is to make sure that those businesses, those people, those churches, those community organizations, those kids in the schools have a place where they can see themselves in Detroit's narrative.
So is this like being a sort of writer in residence for a whole city?
Something like that. That's a good way of putting it. I've been called the editor-in-chief of Detroit. I've been called the voice of Detroit. And I'm sort of wary of both of those terms. But a writer-in-residence is definitely one way of putting it as far as going out to all 200-plus neighborhoods in Detroit, interviewing people, photographing them, taping them, and putting it on our cable channel, putting it on our website, and just giving people one more way of seeing themselves, where sometimes they couldn't. A lot of the stories that we've done have not been covered elsewhere. You know, they haven't been covered in some of the newspapers or the TV stations, and that's not to say that they're doing a bad job. But we could always use more to support ways of people learning more about themselves in this city.
You talked about the difference between downtown and the larger city. Why is it that there's been so much of a focus on the center of the city?
Usually because this is where you see a lot of commercial activity, right? Dan Gilbert, who is, you know, CEO of Quicken Loans and Bedrock Real Estate and Cleveland Cavaliers and all these different businesses, he is purchasing skyscrapers at an enormous rate and also bringing in several employees. So there's a renaissance going on downtown that a lot of people are in love with. A lot of people are in love with the narrative of Detroit was down on its knees. It was down at the bottom. But now you've got this big and booming downtown. But a lot of people unfamiliar with Detroit don't realize downtown is a very, very small part of Detroit. It's a very large city, 140 square miles. And a lot of people outside of downtown were just asking, when do we get to see our stories told just as much as the Dan Gilbert stories, just as much as the new restaurant stories, just as much as the new people moving to Detroit stories? When do we see stories about the people who never left Detroit?
Erin, you're being quite polite in the way that you're telling this, but I've read some of your articles and you're pretty angry about the focus on white gentrification, aren't you?
Right. I guess my radio personality and my online personality are two different things. To be perfectly honest, when people move to Detroit and they have no sense of history about this place, they have no sense of why the larger black population here can be a little hesitant and be a little suspicious of what happens when you have an influx of white residents. That's not to say that white residents aren't welcome in Detroit, but one of the things that I've done not only prior to joining the mayor's office, but continue to do is to remind people that, gentrification can very much happen. And it's happened in different forms, especially displacement, many decades ago. So you had a freeway come in and destroy our thriving black business district in the 50s and 60s. You had displacement of poor black residents out of the black bottom neighborhood. And we still live with that generations later. You know, like I have relatives who are old enough to remember that. So we're suspicious when we see things changing and we immediately become sort of self-aware, right? We've always had to hold on to what little we've had. Now we're in a position where we have to continue to do so. So that's sort of what I've always tried to do, is just sort of keep people on their toes about that.
A lot of the stories that we hear about American cities, and particularly about Detroit, it's about fear, fear and anxiety about the neighborhoods you're not supposed to go to. I mean, tell us about the neighborhood that you grew up in, and what are the stories that are told about that place?
Absolutely. So you especially saw that with a lot of people new to Detroit, because they were only moving to downtown and midtown and saying things that like, oh, everywhere else in Detroit is ghetto. Everywhere else in Detroit is the hood. But I grew up in a neighborhood, and many of my friends grew up in neighborhoods. Everybody in Detroit grew up in a neighborhood that is very special to them, that is home to them. I grew up in a neighborhood called Russell Woods, and it's on the west side of Detroit, Central West. One of the main streets that cuts through Russell Woods is Dexter Avenue. And people outside of Detroit, if they know certain streets have certain reputations, and Dexter definitely has a reputation. But I grew up just fine over there, and the neighborhood looks the same, you know, 20 years ago as it did now. But one of the many narratives about Detroit was that, oh, you know, downtown is thriving and then the rest of the city is rotting, which is not always true. If you go to Russell Woods or East English Village or Minot Park, Rosedale Park, Parkland way on the west side, you know, Grixdale Farms and places like these that have maintained over the last couple of years, it really does a disservice to those residents who have been there all that time. And then they hear people from outside Detroit saying, oh, you know, don't go past this street, don't go down that street or whatever. And, you know, I've tried to remind people of that over and over and over again.
Well, tell us how you do that, Aaron. So as chief storyteller, if you go into these suburbs that have been imagined as the sort of mean streets that you're not supposed to walk down, what are the sorts of stories that you're finding and that you want to tell?
We're finding stories about everyday people. I think for a long time, you know, our media's covered the, you know, put people on pedestals. If you open a barbecue restaurant, suddenly you're king of the town, right? But we forgot about just people who are the threads and fabric of Detroit. So one of the stories that I love the most is about a young woman who bought a house in the Brightmoor neighborhood. And Brightmoor, again, is one of those neighborhoods that has such a rep, but people are moving there. People are seeing the value of the homes there and fixing them up over there. And you have this young woman who survived a domestic violence incident. And she threw herself into rehabilitating her house. She learned how to do everything herself, you know, laying the plaster, fixing, you know, the door frames and all of that. And then she made herself a home, and making herself a home in Detroit helped her overcome the situation that she was in. It's not, you know, a sexy story about, you know, getting a loan and opening a business and becoming the hottest restaurant in town. Or it's not the, you know, sexy story about millennials moving to a cheap loft somewhere and now look how much they're thriving in their art studio, right? These are, you know, the people we see every day. These are our bus drivers. These are our cashiers. These are our clerks, our secretaries, things like that. You know, we want to tell these stories.
So as you say, there are 200 neighborhoods in Detroit. It's spread out over a big area. Are you discovering new parts of your own city, stories that you didn't know?
Absolutely. Another story that we've done is there is a very small Hmong population in Detroit. But back when I was growing up, that population was much larger, and I actually did not know much about this population. But this particular Asian population had moved out of Detroit and into the suburbs. Now some of the younger members of that population are thinking twice, and they want to come back to live in Detroit because one of the things they said in the story was that the Hmong community in Metro Detroit lacks a center. They lack a central gathering place. Why can't that place be Detroit? Why can't it be now? and this is on the east side of Detroit near our city airport. I didn't know that this community existed, and apparently a lot of people didn't know either, because that was one of the most read stories on the site.
So there's a lot of ways in which this project is going to keep on going by the sounds of things, but you've also got a project about how to live in Detroit without being a jackass. So first of all, I want to know who was being such a jackass, and then what are your top tips for living in Detroit without behaving badly?
I think a person can be a jackass in Detroit is, again, if they don't know the history of this place and also purport themselves to be an expert about Detroit after only living here for like a year or two. You know, one of the things that really bothered me is like I remember someone saying like, oh, my car got broken into. Now I'm a real Detroiter. And, you know, I've known people who lived in the city for 50 plus years and have never had a car break in. And I would consider them to be, quote unquote, real Detroiters way before it. And this, you know, then this girl who's Ford Focus has a broken window. So some of my top tips to live in Detroit. One, definitely learn the history. Learn that, you know, white flight did not begin in the 60s. It began way before the 60s, nor that white flight alone caused Detroit to become the way it is. Two, definitely respect the people that are here. One of the big, big narratives that we've tried to overcome in the last couple of years was this idea that Detroit is a blank canvas, Detroit is a blank slate, but there are still thousands of people living here. It's not blank. It's not empty. And then my third tip would be to also, you know, remember basic manners. Detroit being a city in the Midwest, you know, the Midwestern United States is known for its homeliness and friendliness. But also Detroit is a city full of people with roots in the South. In the Southern United States, you know, it's all about mannerisms. It's all about being polite. And you have people who move into Detroit without basic manners, not saying hi to people on the street, not holding the door open for people, not letting ladies first off the elevator and things like that. And when you have a whole city that is sort of rooted in those sort of old school mannerisms, and you come in and not acknowledge those, you can be perceived as being disrespectful. And nobody wants a disrespectful person living in Detroit.
So, Aaron, just in the minute or so we've got left, how do you get a job like this? How do you come to be chief storyteller for Detroit?
It actually came by surprise. I did not know that the mayor of Detroit was familiar with my work, nor I did not know that he was reading my book and all these types of things. And I thought that I was too radical for this kind of job. But then when he brought me in and said, "You're saying the types of things that Detroiters need to hear," I was like, okay, this is an opportunity to really do something and really create, tell the kind of stories that I've always wanted to tell in Detroit.
Aaron Foley is a writer and journalist and, as we heard, the chief storyteller of Detroit. You can find a link to his website, The Neighbourhoods, on our website at abc.net.au/rn and then find Books and Arts. Aaron, thank you so much for speaking to us here on RN.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And I wonder if you think your town or city needs a storyteller. What are those hidden stories? Tell us on the Books and Arts Facebook page. I'm Kate Evans, and this is your Storyteller's Place here on RN.